This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. Good afternoon. It's great to have you with us for the Monday edition of the Noon Business Hour. Another week is off to a good start. I'm Cisco Cotto.
I'm Chris Kreidel. We've got 76 degrees right now, pushing up to a high of 80 on this October day, and we'll have the five-day forecast coming up.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Let's kick things off with an update of Wall Street from Bloomberg. Here's Joan Doniger.
Cisco, stocks have been trying, even setting records, but they couldn't hold on to them, and all three averages now have slipped below the flat line. The Dow down 9 points, the Nasdaq 2, so's the S&P. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is falling 0.2%. Now Walgreens shares leading the way lower, they're down almost 4%. Bruce Biddles of R.W. Baird says, though, he is a little more comfortable, or would be if there weren't so much optimism in the market.
I wouldn't be surprised if somewhere in here we get some sort of pullback. I don't think it's going to be significant because the trend of the market is strong. Market breadth last week improved significantly. And I think earnings season, I think, will probably be favorable as well.
GE is helping with the move lower today. It is the Dow's loss leader. Shares are down 3.5%. The company has added an activist investor to its board. The CEO is trying to make moves to turn GE around. Back to you, Cisco and Chris.
Thanks, Joan. On today's Noon Business Hour, we're seeing what's ahead this week, and that includes bank earnings. Star Wars gets a cameo on tonight's football broadcast.
We'll also find out about Cubs ticket prices. How are they faring this year compared to last year? And Stock Picker Monday, we'll have an investing pro offer you some advice for your portfolio. All of that and loads more on today's Noon Business Hour.
Loaning useful information each weekday. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The week ahead on Wall Street includes opening of earnings season, along with reports on consumer prices and retail sales. We're talking with Tom Hudson, week ahead columnist at McClatchy Tribune News Services in Miami. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Tom.
Chris Cisco, great to be with you.
We're also going to we're going to get some kind of indication of what President Trump plans to do about vacancies at the Federal Reserve. Does he want to make his appointments and make it his Federal Reserve?
I think there's no doubt about it. This is going to be Trump's Federal Reserve in the weeks ahead, and it's already began really with the Senate confirmation last week for a temporary, well, what's left of one term. But this week, we have yet another Federal Reserve Board of Governor coming open. Stanley Fischer, his retirement from the central bank officially takes effect on Thursday, just before his 74th birthday. And this resignation is going to leave three Board of Governor seats open on a seven-seat board. And then Janet Yellen, who's the chairman term expires in February. So the president here has an opportunity really over the next 3 or 4 months essentially to take name 50% new members to the Board of Governors for the Federal Reserve, including the chairman position, where this will no doubt become President Trump's Federal Reserve in the month ahead.
And how does that affect policy then?
Well, it affects policy greatly, notably, obviously, monetary policy, interest rate policy, because under Janet Yellen's chairmanship here, it has been a slow and steady path forward, similar to her predecessor, Ben Bernanke, which was very vocal about communicating clearly, saying what the Federal Reserve wanted to do, being clear about what the parameters were, the goals the Federal Reserve wanted to see being accomplished in the economy before taking action on monetary policy. You could get somebody in the board in the chairmanship position, or even a couple of board of governors who are willing to act perhaps a bit more quickly, become a bit more hawkish one way or the other. But I think the other thing here is on how the Federal Reserve acts as a regulator in the financial industry. The president and some of his Republican supporters in Congress have made no secret that they'd like to roll back some of the federal banking regulations that were put into place after the Great Recession. The Federal Reserve, for many folks, is those top regulators that is going to drive that conversation.
Well, let's talk about earnings, Tom, because we are going to begin earnings season here with some banks. What do you expect? What do you expect overall in earnings season, and maybe out of these financial institutions?
Not bad. Certainly, the quarter isn't going to be an awful quarter by any stretch of the imagination. I think what we want to look for investors, obviously, is to look ahead and what are these banks and others going to be saying about the current quarter, the third quarter here. The GDP numbers that we've seen have been relatively positive, still in a low interest rate environment, which can be challenging for banks specifically, but job growth has continued and top-line earnings growth has been reported better than what it has been expected. And all of that baked in here, Cisco, has helped the S&P 500 especially kind of march higher despite all of the distractions that are out there from the presidential tweet storm around the NFL or gosh knows what around national security in North Korea.
And Tom, before we let you go, one thing we do want to ask you. We talked to you several weeks ago right after the hurricane hit Miami. I remember you were talking to us on your cell phone when you had no power. You were kind enough to give us some of your remaining battery life on your cell phone.
And he's still standing.
Still standing, yeah. What's going on down there? Because we haven't really heard much about the cleanup in Miami.
Yeah, well, obviously a lot of attention has shifted to Puerto Rico and the real crisis that's going on there, and our hearts go out to our friends and family that are on the island. Here in South Florida, throughout the entire peninsula, really, the piles of debris remain because this was such a large storm where normally you would be able to call in gear and equipment and resources from elsewhere in the state to be able to take care of whichever part of the state got hit by the storm. Hasn't been the case this time around. So lots of municipal money, lots of rainy day funds for local governments being spent on debris cleanup. And I can tell you that portions of my fence and my palm fronds and oak tree branches still remain on the swale waiting for the debris truck to come on by.
Well, we're glad things are going to start to turn normal again. Thanks, Tom. Tom Hudson, Week Ahead columnist at McClatchy Tribune News Services in Miami. And coming up, tonight's Bears-Vikings game will include a highly anticipated Star Wars component.
Money talks as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The trailer for the new movie Star Wars: The Last Jedi will debut tonight during halftime of the Bears-Vikings game. Let's take a look at that strategic placement with Tim Hanlon, manager director of the Vertere Group here in Chicago. Tim, why would they do this? Why would the people who want folks to go see Star Wars decide Monday Night Football is the venue for a big release like this?
Well, Cisco, that's a great question, right? The this is a classic television mass audience approach, right? Where in today's day and age, where there are very few vehicles to get in front of multiple eyeballs at the same time, live NFL football is probably one of the very few places where you can get a quote-unquote mass audience in one fell swoop. Now, that's not necessarily the same impact as it was even 5 years ago, as audiences splinter into so many other places that we've talked about over the months here on the show. But it's still arguably the biggest bang for the buck in terms of getting a message out to a large volume of people at one time. That said, it's a very good question as to say whether the NFL demographic audience is necessarily aligned really well with the Star Wars audience. That's not quite so certain, frankly.
And that was one of my questions, because it seems like, obviously, they do their research, so they must have figured out people who like Star Wars also like the NFL, or they quit sort of gambling on that.
Well, I'm not so sure that that's the case, because you have, really, corporate ownership of the same of these entities, right? So ESPN, obviously owned and operated by the Disney family, and Disney obviously owning the Star Wars franchise after having purchased it a number of years ago. This is a classic case of corporate synergy, and it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's a relatively cost-efficient way for the Star Wars franchise, owned by one part of the company, to get its message through some of the auspices of the ownership of the assets of ESPN and Monday Night Football. That said, corporate synergy doesn't necessarily mean best targeted audience, but make no mistake, it'll be an impact. It'll have some residual effect, and it'll certainly resonate down the road. But again, is it necessarily the best targeted vehicle for the launch of the next version of this movie franchise? You know, if you were to take an objective, independent media buying perspective, maybe not so much.
Let's talk about the movie industry. The summer take was not really what the industry was looking for. Is this just the beginning of the end, in a way?
Well, look, there's no mistake, Chris, that this year was one of the worst in modern history for the box office for feature films, theatrical releases. You know, Blade Runner, for example, the reboot, which was very well hyped, you know, it came in at an anemic amount of money. I mean, $35 million or so, not bad for any movie. But when you spend $150 million to create it, that's a complete miss. And I think you're seeing a lot of changes going on in the film industry. Tent poles are really these big sort of franchise movies are really the only thing that kind of prop up the industry, but it's being decimated and or certainly challenged by a bunch of things that we've talked about on the show, digital distribution, closer to the actual delivery of the movie in theaters, perhaps people getting the opportunity to watch films in their homes instead of going to the theater. These are all things that Hollywood is struggling with right now and not necessarily fully answering yet.
Tim, thanks so much for spending a few minutes with us. Tim Hanlon is managing director of the Vertera Group here in Chicago. A reminder, you're going to hear the hometown call of the Bears-Vikings here on WBBM, starting with the pregame this afternoon at 4:30. And just ahead, an update on the markets from Bloomberg.
WBBM News Time, 12:25. All the latest business news from Bloomberg, sponsored by Lake Forest Sports Cars, the Ferrari specialists at Bloomberg. Here's Joan Doniger.
Cisco stocks have moved into the red, but not too far. The Dow is down just a point. The NASDAQ, too. So is the S&P. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is falling a little more than a tenth of a percent now. Walgreens shares dragging the average down. They're down about 4%, with GE right behind. GE has been a factor at the Dow, too. Its shares dropping almost 4%. The company's CEO has installed an activist investor on the company's board. He's trying to look to shake things up at GE. Now, as for Walgreens, not only do analysts expect Amazon to move into the pharmaceutical benefits business with a decision that could come as early as next month? A Bernstein analyst is naming names, saying a partnership between United Health's pharmacy benefit manager unit, Optimum Rx, and Amazon could be Amazon's best bet for getting into that business. The exclusive streaming rights to one of the biggest hits on TV are going not to Netflix or Amazon, but to Hulu. It is the highest bidder, paying about $3.5 million per episode for the NBC drama This Is Us. Bloomberg News says that's among the priciest deals ever for Hulu. Now, let's check in with Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
We've had mixed prices here today. Corn's been down 2 to up 1.5 at the present time. December down 3/4, 349 and a quarter. Beans have been up 4 3/4, down 2.5. Presently, November's unchanged at 972 1/4, and wheat's been up 2 1/4 to down 7.5. We're down 6 1/4 there at 437 1/4. We're waiting for Thursday's USDA report on stocks and yields. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Right now, the Dow down 1.5 points, with business at 25 and 55. Live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Joan Doniger, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. We've got 76 degrees right now, going to a high of 80. The five-day forecast coming up.
Stocks are a little lower on this Columbus Day. We'll see what's impacting the markets.
A Chicago startup that focuses on helping people network successfully during corporate events is taking on a new challenge.
Stock Picker Monday will get some suggestions from a money pro.
It is a huge day for Chicago sports. A Bears Viking matchup at Soldier Field and a Cubs playoff game this afternoon. We'll have an update on tickets for Wrigley Field today and tomorrow.
Wall Street, the Dow is flat. NASDAQ also flat. The S&P down 2 points.
It's a beautiful day for all of these sports contests today. Mostly sunny, very warm, a high of 80 for the first pitch at Wrigley, game 3 of the series, 76. Right now it's 76 degrees.
The Noon Business Hour, presented by the Village of Bedford Park, also sponsored by GWC Law. Speaking of the Cubs, let's see how much it will cost you to get a seat at Wrigley Field, and how does it compare with last season? Sean Pates joining us, vice president of Game Time, a last-minute mobile ticketing app based in San Francisco. All right, Sean, if people want to see the game this afternoon, what's it going to run them?
Hey, Cisco, good to be with you guys. Well, I'll tell you, right now it's going to be lucky to get a ticket. They are extremely, extremely hot for this year's game. comparing it to last year, where similar prices, actually, which is really interesting, about $245 is what people have paid to get into today's game versus the exact same for the first game of DS last year. But the big difference here in 2017 is the inventory is extremely tight today. So it's going to be one trick to get a ticket here at the last minute today.
That's interesting. I remember when the Atlanta Braves were really good, fans wouldn't even show up to the first round of the playoffs. There was all sorts of empty seats. So it sounds like if you can't find a ticket, there's still excitement about the Cubs.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, Chicago is such a unique market, too. And the World Series changed a lot of things. But absolutely, comparing to other markets where, you know, you look at Arizona tonight hosting the Dodgers, their tickets are going for $30. Right now, I just saw on Game Time, we were looking at $200 to get in at the very moment. And we are very, very low on inventory. I would advise fans that are looking to get to one of these games that tomorrow has a lot of opportunity in terms of selection. And it sounds like it's a beautiful day out in Chicago today, and tomorrow they're looking at rain, so more opportunity to find value for tomorrow night's game.
Now, we were talking earlier, really throughout the day here on News Radio, about fake tickets and just how many of them are out there. Is that essentially impossible if you're using an electronic ticket to get in?
Yeah, you're always protected when you're using a guaranteed service like Game Time. That's the one thing that we always advise is, you know, not to be self-serving, but keep your business online to secured and protected sites and mobile apps like Game Time. On the street is very precarious, handing cash to someone that can just dash with your money or a ticket that could be already scanned or faked when you get into the gate.
All right, Sean Payton, always appreciate you joining us. Sean is vice president of Game Time, a last-minute mobile ticketing app.
Well, let's leave Chicago's Cubs and go to Wall Street to talk about the markets today with Hugh Johnson, Chairman and Chief Investment Officer at Hugh Johnson Advisors in Albany. Hugh, looks like the markets are taking a breather today. Can they continue to keep going up?
Wow, that's a tough question. You know, we're breaking records all the time, and one thing that I noted this morning, that if the market finishes the average annualized rate of return in October is positive, that's going to give us the longest stretch of monthly increases in 90 years, and that's really something. So you're asking a question, can it keep going up? Well, look, this isn't the longest bull market in history, and it's not the strongest. It's only the third strongest. So, yes, it can keep going up. And some of them, when you take a look at the financial market indicators and economic indicators, it suggests that this cycle, stock market, business, interest rate cycle, has further to go. So the answer is yes. But then, unfortunately, I tap my common sense and say, look, it's a very long time since we've had a 5% correction. My guess, and that's all it could be, is that we're in for some sort of a correction, and it probably isn't too far away.
And in the meantime, what do you like for investments right now?
Right now, you know, Chris, I would probably look at, first of all, the kinds of things that have been working in this bull market. That includes basic material stocks and includes industrials and technology stocks and, to some extent, financial stocks. Of course, we're going to see their earnings this week. So those are the sectors of the market that I would be trying to focus on. And just as a guess, and again, I say it as a guess, I think, quite frankly, you've got to be good at picking your entry points. And then to me, that entry point might be 4 to 5% lower than current levels, which means you've got to be pretty patient and very tough on price.
So, yeah, that patience that you're talking about, essentially, should investors keep some money on the sidelines waiting for that dip that you say is probably going to happen?
Well, you know, I think you should have, through this whole period, a pretty meaningful allocation to equities. But if you can't sleep at night, put some on the sidelines. And if you have some on the sidelines and you're waiting to make an investment now in the equity markets, it takes a lot of courage, but you might want to sit this one out until we see something more attractive, 4 to 5% on the downside. Again, within the context of what I think is going to be an ongoing bull market in response to earnings that are going to surprise everybody over the next 2 years by being a little bit stronger than expected. So sleep at night, that's number one. Number two, my just common sense says you might want to keep a little bit on the sidelines for a better entry point.
What do you think in the short term? What do you expect of the earnings season getting underway here?
Well, that's a great question. I think it's going to be a good one. And first of all, we're talking about a pretty big earnings season, 15% for the S&P 500 year over year. And in most cases, we're seeing numbers come in that have been above expectations in recent earnings periods. The big numbers are this week, of course, are going to be the financials. We're going to see a lot of those financials telling us how things went in that group, J.P. Morgan, Citigroup, Bank of America, and Wells Fargo, all coming out this week. And so watch those. And you know, everybody's going to be watching those to see how they did in the third quarter. And everybody's got their fingers crossed that we're going to see pretty darn good numbers from the financials.
Thanks for joining us today. Hugh Johnson, Chairman, Chief Investment Officer at Hugh Johnson Advisors in Albany. Coming up, we're checking in with the CEO of a Chicago company that adds a high-tech element to business networking.
A wallet full of information. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
A company based at the Chicago Tech Incubator 1871, taking another step forward. We're talking with Mitch Carroll, CEO of Proxfinity in Chicago, a company that helps spur personal interaction at corporate events. Mitch, let's go ahead and begin with what you do. We want to talk about some of the things moving to Chicago and some of the exciting things going on in manufacturing. But first, remind our audience, it's been a while since we've talked to someone from Proxfinity. Remind us of what you do and how you help out at conventions and conferences, that kind of stuff.
Sure, Cisco. Great. It's very exciting to be here with you. Thanks for having us on your show. Proxfinity is a workforce engagement and event technology company. We use a wearable smart badge, data, and algorithms to connect meeting participants and event participants to their most valuable face-to-face conversations. Essentially, we connect people on their own business objectives and shared passions.
So what does it look like? If I have a badge and you have a badge and your software determines you and I should talk, what do I see my face on your badge or something? I mean, how do we connect?
Maybe one day you will, but right now you see your initials. So what happens is you pre-program it with your personal interests. And so when you walk around, when you get close to others, you'll see your initials on someone else's badge and they'll see their initials on yours. So you know exactly who to talk to. And then there's other indicators on the front of the badge that tell you what conversations you're connecting on, so you know exactly what to talk about.
So as you enlist for this procedure, let's say you're a McCormick Place, you're saying this is what I'm interested in, this is what I do, and then that will pick up people who share this with you?
Exactly, yeah. So if you're buying a service or selling a service, we can connect people on their complementary interests. If you're looking to connect with certain types of people, you're in the real estate field, you're in a tech field, whatever it is that your business objectives are for being there, we make it happen.
Now, you have been on the West Coast, but you're moving some of your operations to Chicago.
Yeah. So our operations here have always been in Chicago, but we had our manufacturing operations on the West Coast. But once M-Hub opened, we were able to find a really great manufacturing partner. And as anyone who actually builds a product knows, if you're able to find a partner, a production partner, who can lower your costs and decrease your speed to market, that's truly invaluable. And that's what we found with M-Hub.
So tell us, for people unfamiliar with M-Hub, tell us about it. What's it doing here in Chicago?
Sure. M-Hub is really a collaboration, and it's an accelerator for companies that are building physical products. And so companies like Proxfinity, who have a wearable smart badge, what we can do is we can actually produce our circuit boards there. But it's really from beginning to end. You can go there, you can concept out what your production is, and you can build your concept all the way through production.
Always love hearing about more production moving to
Chicago. Thanks so much for coming down and sitting here with us today, Mitch. And we'll keep an eye on you and when we want updates. Mitch Carroll is CEO at Proxfinity here in Chicago. Join us at this time tomorrow for Travel Tuesday when we look at apple orchards, pumpkin patches, and fall color tours. Still to come, our Monday stock picker.
Cashing in with conversation. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Sponsored by Country Financial, it is Stock Picker Monday, and joining us is Chuck Lieberman, who is Chief Investment Officer at Advisors Capital Management in Ridgewood, New Jersey. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Chuck.
Thank you.
What's your first pick today?
I'm going to go with Citigroup. This is for investors looking for growth. It's a cheap stock. Dividend yield is only 1.7%, but they recently doubled it, and they're trading at very cheap valuations, 1x book, 1.1x tangible book, about 12.5x next year's earnings. Those statistics are among the lowest for the banking sector, so it's pretty cheap. They also have the ability to grow their earnings quite a bit. They will benefit from rising interest rates. They're going to benefit from share buybacks, which they're doing in size.
They will probably increase their dividend again next year. They're cutting costs, so the return on equity is relatively low, and there's lots of room for improvement.
The symbol is C, and it's in the $75 range.
That's right.
All right, Chuck, what's your second pick?
My second pick is for income investors. It's called Blackstone Mortgage Trust. It's a commercial mortgage REIT, real estate investment trust. Stock is a little over $31 a share, a dividend of 62 cents a quarter. That yield is 7.9%, so it generates a lot of income. This is a company that owns senior mortgage loans on commercial properties. They don't lend to individuals. It's not a residential mortgage REIT. It's a commercial mortgage REIT. They also don't own real estate. It's 98.6% mortgages. Very well capitalized. Over 25% of the assets are backed by capital. It's part of the Blackstone family, so they've got someone providing them with lots of information on loans and borrowers. Very high-quality portfolio, no losses, 100% senior loans. They're nicely positioned for interest rates to rise because their loan terms rise with interest rates, but some of their financing cost is fixed. If interest rates were to rise 100 basis points, 1%, that would add another 19 cents to their earnings. So they are nicely positioned for the Fed to raise interest rates in December and again next year.
Two picks today, Blackstone Mortgage Trust, symbol BXMT, and Citigroup, ticker symbol C. Thanks, Chuck Lieberman, Chief Investment Officer at Advisors Capital Management. A check of the markets from Bloomberg next.
BBM News Time, 12:55. We're wrapping up the noon business hour with a look at the markets and Veronica Carter.
Chris, Wall Street looked at pushing records higher today, and for now, investors have decided no thanks. The Dow is down 3 points, the NASDAQ down about a point, the S&P a little more than a point. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is falling about a tenth of a percent, GE leading the losses. It's leading the Dow lower, too. Its shares falling 4% as investors digest the latest company shakeup. GE's new CEO is putting an activist investor on the company's board. And baby boomers, you're too old. Now America's retailers have a new target customer. The 26-year-old millennial. The Wall Street Journal says companies are developing new products, launching educational programs, and overhauling marketing with them specifically in mind. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Joan Doniger, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.